Sam won't tell this phony story, so I will. Sam had to shoot that logo. Is that not true, Sam?
That's correct. That's not true.
What? Yeah, because I... Because that Rosebud was not really a real company.
That's right. Dino De Laurentiis had a company, D-E-L. Is that it?
D-E-G at the time.
D-E-G. And he could not release an X-rated movie, which the MPAA had rated Evil Dead 2. So he had to make a cheesy new company called Rosebud Releasing. And Bruce and I were in love with logos. So we shot a logo of this rose in front of this fake Warner Brothers type... cloudy backdrop. Is that the story?
That's the story, Sam.
But
Sam,
actually,
who are you anyway?
We missed
but actually,
cool stuff there.
It was shot by an animator. We gave him the backdrop. I gave him a storyboard, and he actually did the stop motion animation. I cannot remember the guy's name.
Right. Well, who are you anyway?
This whole Laserdisc is going to be. What was that guy's name?
What was that guy's name? Well, what's your name? We're supposed to introduce ourselves.
Okay. My name is Sam Raimi. I am the director of this motion picture you're about to see, Evil Dead 2.
Scott.
And I'm Scott Spiegel, co-writer of Evil Dead 2.
I'm Bruce Campbell. I play the idiot Ash, and I co-produce this epic.
Greg Nicotero, special makeup effects.
And the movie begins.
Dun, dun, the movie's half over already.
The first story took us into it.
This was actually shot in the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Wadesboro, North Carolina. That's where we shot this.
This is the only part of the picture. I think you guys really just dashed us off. I absolutely had nothing
right
to do with this because we weren't sure about the whole beginning sequence, which has some. We couldn't get the footage or something from New Line, or Dino couldn't get the footage from New Line.
Right. This is actually a brand new Linda, Denise Bixler.
Right.
And so, there's been some confusion of whether Ash would be stupid enough to go back to the cabin for another night.
Right.
Which, of course, he is. But that's another story.
Well, didn't we actually reshoot the whole opening from the original Evil Dead with everybody sitting around with the tape recorder and all that stuff? I remember there was like another Scott that we had shot with, I remember.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sam.
I know
it was like the second day.
We wrote it.
I remember shooting it.
Hmm.
Ever since the accident.
Oh, that saucy little tramp, baby.
Actually, my favorite thing about her T-shirt is we paraded two different T-shirts for her to try on. One was a normal T-shirt that just hung normally. The other one was this vacuum-formed one. And I remember Rob Tappert, the producer, going,
Well, there's no question about it. The vacuum-formed one.
Robbie. I know. He goes,
baby, you want to play house? You be the screen door, and I'll slam you all night long.
No, I'm sorry. I'm kidding,
actually,
Rob. Sorry, Rob.
I
want to
talk
joking.
About that little amulet, the one that was bought at Corey's Jewel Box in Michigan.
At the 12...
Corey's Jewel Box.
Yes. The Delta
Mall. Oh, no.
Sam bought it. Didn't you, because of the reflection gag or the magnifying gag?
Yes, originally in Evil Dead 1, what we were going to do was use that little magnifying glass in the amulet to let the sun shine through it, and Ash is going to witness it burning the Book of the Dead, and he was going to realize at that point that burning the book was the key.
Right.
But that got cut out.
And so now we're stuck with the little amulet.
Thank you.
Right. So we got stuck with that cheesy necklace.
Uh-oh.
Right.
That's Bruce's dad's tape recorder. I remember making tapes with you in high school on that thing.
Yeah, we used that to actually put sound to some of the Super 8 movies.
See what's on it.
Remember that, Scott?
Absolutely. Wasn't she married to Steve Guttenberg or something?
She was for a while.
For a while.
Not any mail.
So that tape recorder is actually the same tape recorder from the original Evil Dead movie.
Right.
I think it's one of the few actual holdovers because this entire set was obviously rebuilt.
And wasn't that a certain scale castle or something?
Yep, there's the force perspective miniature.
That was in Wadesboro, right?
Yeah. Well, what kills me is after months of building that stupid thing, it looks like a matted-in backdrop.
Isn't that funny? But it still looks cool.
It doesn't look real.
And that's John Peaks on the left.
Detroit actor. Yeah.
And he's also doing the voiceover right now, right? On the tape. He's a voiceover.
Right. Now, a little trivia. The guy who did the voice of the professor, that same character in the first Evil Dead, is Bob Dorian, who now hosts American Movie Classics.
Oh, that's right. Cool.
No kidding. This was the first day of shooting. This was the first time we did any of the makeups, because Henriette has contact lenses in the makeup, and I remember trying to get the lighting right, where she would rock forward into the light, and she'd open her eyes, and a horrible, heinous
I missed
hag.
That. You guys shot that, but
Lou
that didn't make Hancock. It in, right?
That's right.
I really liked that, too.
That was really cool. But
it was a good moment, but somehow...
Too slow.
I don't know. It didn't seem to fit in the pace of this.
Right.
Sam, I have a question. Was that clock the original clock as well?
That is the original clock.
I think that
clock.
Was a
right. The clock and the tape recorder both sat in our Ferndale office collecting dust for about 7 years.
Now, what about the actual
eagerly awaiting the
what
sequel?
What about the knife of the dead? You know, the was that, did that still exist?
Tom Sullivan designed both that original large-scale Condarian dagger and the Book of the Dead, and they're both, I think both the originals are used in Evil Dead 2 here.
Right. And this cabin was basically constructed on the a guy's personal property.
Yeah,
in
where they shot Color Purple.
In Wadesboro, yeah, North Carolina.
And then all of this was built, the whole set was a two-story set built in the gymnasium of the J.R. Faison High School in Wadesboro.
That's right.
Don't ask me why I remember that.
Although weird little bits like this were part of reshoots that were actually
Dearborn?
Done in a warehouse in Michigan.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Because we flew in and did reshoots there, I remember.
What the?
Quiet.
You don't want them to find us out here. Yeah, this is the same property where they shot Color Purple. There's a house.
Oh,
no. No, that wig, it's from Cameron.
Oh,
get back.
Man, there's no question about
so
that.
So the first 3 weeks we were out on location shooting nights, and they built the castle. I remember.
Say hello to Papa!
Recap the decap.
Yeah, yeah. The relationship was cut short.
Remember when she had her tennis shoes on, and we did the slow motion shot, and you had to cut out before you saw her feet because she had her tennis shoes on?
I do remember that. How do you remember that? Strange fact.
I remember. I watched the tears.
There's the amulet.
Yep.
The $12 amulet.
You know, on a night where all this horror is going on, how did he have time to craft that big cross? It's like, just bury her and get inside and bolt the door, for God's sake.
Sam, don't say that. Ash is a very skillful man.
Skip the arts and crafts, buddy.
Okay.
Hey, Sam, you explain this phony, this handheld stuff, the shaky cam.
Shaky cam.
This shot is actually shot on a motorcycle I was riding. The camera mounted to it with a spring plate that we designed. I remember when they didn't pull open this second door, I went slammed into that. Bruce, this is the shot where I broke your jaw.
Yeah, right, which wound up being the last shot we shot of the movie, because in case anything happened to me, we'd be fine.
How long did it take to shoot this shot? This was a whole day,
as
right?
I recall, this was one full day. Which this was ironically shot in South Carolina, outside of Cheraw, South Carolina.
That's right.
Because we had to find a road that was at least like a mile long, where Sam could personally torment me on his little rig,
with
where he could spin me
stuff
back and forth in either direction.
That was the most fun I had all shoot, was spinning you on that rheostat, backwards and forwards,
yes,
ramming you through trees.
This is playing me like a video game.
This was the first of many torturous times of Bruce in the makeup with the contact lenses. Yes. The makeup was sculpted by Howard Berger. I remember Sam kept saying, open your eyes, open your eyes.
I know, but what was so weird is I couldn't tell whether my eyes were open or not.
Because of the contacts in the water.
Right, you can't always really tell.
And I kept saying, he's going to open his eyes and the lenses will wash away, so we better be careful about
At this point, Peter Deming came to join in of this footage, and I think some of the first stuff Peter had to shoot was doing exposure changes in reverse motion, which obviously was a good hello to this movie for Peter Deming.
Exactly. And there's actually a close-up here of the eye changing, which we shot in the parking lot at K&B. That right there that Bob Kurtzman did.
Which was an oversized piece?
Oversized eyeball.
Gee, that shot so good, it looks like it must have been shot in a garage and not a parking lot. Yeah, that was Peter Deming's first day. I do remember that, because Eugene Chuglit and the rest of the first crew left.
Right.
They
after
didn't want to do all the...
They were busy. They had a previous engagement.
They did.
Branch of Loris there. Every 5 seconds there's branches or things being...
Oh, no.
What a horrible dream.
Now, what did we put in the... Wasn't there something in the puddle that we... Like,
water.
Yeah, horrible dye, no doubt.
Yeah, there was dye in there because we didn't want to put dirt in there because of your contacts.
My policy is to soak Bruce's membranes in as many strange dyes and liquids and potions and chemicals as possible.
Yeah, but I feel pretty good. I think this property had some good trees on it, but other trees were kind of wimpy, so a tree like there was the portage. We had the portage trees, and then the spray foam tree.
Oh, don't torture me. I didn't even know that. Now it'll torment me.
Yeah, the tops of the trees are like just horribly cut off.
Oh,
they joined back into little
that
tiny
one
trees.
Too. Yeah, you couldn't pan up too high because the trees just stopped after about 9 feet.
I have a
feet.
Photograph of it taken about a year ago, and those phony trees that all the stuff is crumbling off it, but it's still there.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Maybe they have phony termites.
That was a great 360 shot. All right. Around.
Bob
look,
Dyke.
A Matt shot.
And a Mr. Hitchcock shot those Matt paintings. Tom Hitchcock, correct?
Right, from Michigan. At the time, it was Magic Lantern Productions.
We had a wonderful script supervisor on this picture, and the most horrible thing happened after the preview in New York. She came out crying. I ran into her. You didn't put my name in the credits. And I went, oh, my God. We forgot to put her name in the credits.
She should have supervised
what
that.
What was her name? Francoise.
I think it was Francoise. Yeah. That's okay, because she threatened to quit every day, because Sam would move furniture around for every shot.
Or the blood would never match.
It would not match. Sam, don't worry about it. Through the camera, it looks fine. No, Sam!
She used to yell at us because we didn't put the blood in the same place twice. And she'd be like, oh, that got some black over there, green over here.
Yeah, we, you know what? We were the worst people at continuity. We needed her, and she did a good job.
Right.
Very good job.
Especially shooting out a sequence. We shot all the night stuff
first.
And we had to estimate, for example, what certain things would look like, which you're always wrong.
Oh, there you are, wiping it off. Wait, here's the first...
A miniature! Look out! Look out, a miniature! That's right.
No.
Well, what I had
don't make me act with that thing.
I had to keep taking my makeup off in order to add more.
Yeah.
If you just kept adding it on through the course of this movie, I would have been the gray man.
Sam, you loved hitting my car, didn't you?
I did love hitting your car.
You were a vandal in the car in the last picture. That was always a cool matte painting.
That's
I like
great
that.
Shot.
Bob Dyke and Tom Hitchcock, they projected Bruce into that little area.
As opposed to Bruce projecting himself.
Well, sure. But I had to yell, so I had to project, too.
I smell a blue screen shot.
Uh-oh.
I'm terrified of all these blue screen shots, as you can see. Cut to Sam's car dragged into his studio on its last legs 6 months later.
That car was as healthy as the day it came out of the Ford factory. Problem was, it was an Oldsmobile.
Yeah, because I...
That's a miniature, too, right?
Yeah, again, Bob Dyke and Tom shot that first
piece.
That
then goes into the location. I actually kind of like this. This is a good, ridiculous sequence.
This was the first day we had the dummy of you that we pulled through the windshield on the wire.
Right. You mean that wasn't Bruce?
No, that was me, Scott.
Bruce, you were doing the driving and shots like that, though, weren't you?
I was doing some of it, yeah.
John Cassino
was my stuntman for a total of probably 2 shots in the whole movie because Sam refused to let him do anything.
Suddenly it's dark.
Because the more that there was a chance of Bruce hurting himself, the more appealing it is to let him do his own
work. Not only that, with Cassino, it was too much of a gamble. How well?
See, that branch,
hey, it's night.
That branch was piloted by Sam Raimi. I want you to know that.
I know, you could just tell. So it got an extra evil force to it.
Now that rock saw was also...
This was the Rambo cam. This is the most frightening shot ever to film. That thing built by Vern Hyde and Dale.
Which was basically a steel pole about 30 feet long with a camera attached to it.
And it weighed hundreds
of pounds.
Yeah. Yeah, it was horrible.
And then I remember
it was
ramming that
six
thing.
Six or seven of it, because then you had to feed it through once you got in
look
the back.
I love this. You have to point out, you can see over the edge of the set and all these
don't
shots.
Don't ruin the illusion.
Like, oh, look, there's the roof.
I just love how big the cabin is inside.
But why wasn't it on an aluminum pole or something? I mean, the thing was like rigged to break.
It was steel to break the windshield.
Oh, I thought that was on a rig to explode, and timing-wise, but I guess not.
It was, but that would have been too easy.
Where'd Bruce go?
I love being so fast that I faked this thing out.
And then it just gets pissed.
You're getting pretty
cool
good.
Thing
it's
about
the
this
second night in the cabin, Dave.
Is the hidden cuts throughout here to link the outside location to the inside studio. Yeah. But
no, it was all
I'll
one
never
shot.
Tell where they
that
are.
It was all one shot.
Yeah.
Just keeps going all the way to Rockingham.
Yes. Well, everything's okay now.
That was close.
I think I'll redecorate.
Sam, we sort of got hassled by having one person alone for so much of this movie, didn't we?
From who?
I mean, from the studio.
From Dino?
But Sam, you can't have one man for half an hour.
Yeah, but
alone.
Didn't he read the script? I mean, it was there.
Actually, David I wanted Tormund? To make the whole movie with you alone. But,
Okay, wait, here's Goody and...
Transportation Captain David Goodman there.
And Rob's coming up there.
Introducing Sarah.
He can't get that door open. Look at Rob.
Right.
Like this stupid
that's
door
Rob Weber, the producer on the right. He can never
I wish he never told me that.
He's like, still there today.
That's my favorite clip. He still can't get
he
it open.
He can't get it open. I was so mad when he told me that. I'm like, Rob, don't
it's like
I don't
some actors
know
may have just
things.
Said, I'll pretend that I wasn't trying to open the door and I'll
right.
move on.
The cut saved him finally. Now, this guy's on QVC or Home Shopping
Is
Network
Rick
now.
Francis?
Yeah, Richard Domier.
He was
Rick Francis was
formerly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it
should be, and so I saw him, like, pitching some diamond rings. I'm like, oh, that's what he's doing. Take my car.
Actually, his makeup is one of the neater makeups in the movie later on.
Evil
Scott, what
Ed.
Kind of car is that in the background there? That cab? Did you see that cheesy old...
It looked like, I think it was an old Checker, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah,
that's a cool
I think so.
Car.
Or just me. Just possibly. The
doorway to another world. Uh-oh. What's he so happy about?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I think he has a lascivious mind, there, perhaps.
Bruce is for his cuts and...
Now, again, this was shot in the first 2 weeks, and we had to guess what had happened to me, so I'm a little over-gorpy.
Down,
through a
Bruce.
Lot of
I'm tormented now. I never wanted
to. Now, did you do a lot of your
you
did you do a lot of your own makeup on this one?
You know,
Wendy Bell was the makeup
for
girl,
some
right?
dumb reason, I insisted on using the same Karo syrup solution for my hair, so as a result, I had to sleep with a fly swatter because I was always surrounded by horrible flies.
Well, I remember just making goop jars of goop for you, and you'd come in
here. I need more gel out of this, Bruce.
We did a lot of experimenting with gel blood find one that would hold up to sweat, because I was sweaty through the whole movie. Some gel blood ran, other stuff we used Vaseline.
I think Howard made you a nice
we finally
a
hit
nice
it,
consistency.
Pretty much. Cost me enough.
What?
Yeah, because I...
You never paid that bill, by the way.
I know.
I was a little early.
Dart Frankel built the original Evil Dead cabin. He was pretty much our production designer, along with your brother, Donnie Campbell.
Right.
And he used to really pride himself on the strange angles that he built his little bookshelves on and the door frames.
Right. They were pre-dutched.
Pre-dutched and Hitchcock. He had a little Hitchcock.
Right, Hitchcockian, that's right. You know what's weird about the main room of the cabin, though? When they rebuilt it for this movie, they went off old photographs. The main room is actually split in half. There's different paneling on two different sides.
And one of the panels says Kodak on it. They didn't quite understand the pictures.
Yeah, because I...
What do you want?
So the cabin inherited some weird architectural traits.
It's haunted, I tell you.
Good thing I still have that locket.
Yeah.
Oh, relax.
He's grand because he didn't get the part in Die Hard.
Yeah, that's right.
I think this was a day I wasn't on set. We didn't have any makeup to do this day.
For me, from about the time the end of the sequence starts is where I can watch the rest of the movie. That's where my pain goes away.
Really?
My pain,
the pain goes away
the
on
pain
payday.
Of, the pain of watching myself starts right
Uh-oh.
About here.
Oh, here we go. Great.
This is a cool scene.
Doug Beswick animation, right?
That's right.
Steve Wang sculpted the puppet who's...
Doug, who used to do the Sunday morning show David and Goliath.
That's right.
Oh, God.
We were so impressed and terrified from that show on Sunday morning.
Right.
He did, yeah.
David?
Helen Labatt, my old Groves High School drama teacher, choreographed this dance.
That's right. We shot her dancing this, I remember.
Right. That's right. We shot her dancing this, and then we took that dance and gave it to Doug. On a shot-by-shot basis, and he recreated it in animation.
Now, this was actually in the full-size pieces that we built for this were sculpted by Mike Tursik. Mike Tursik.
Yes.
Because he was in charge of this. And then I think Bob Kurtzman applied her makeup when we were on set. And, of course, I had to learn how to put all the contact lenses in everybody like
right,
3 weeks
Greg,
before we
it.
Shot. Greg, you stick the lenses
I
in
like,
everyone.
That's cool right there.
That was a good gag.
Yeah. I love her scream.
There's a great shot coming up here.
She was happy with her performance.
She was.
Sam, this is one of the nights when you guys broke into our room and took the puppet out without us there.
I am there.
You can actually see her hair right there. It's still in a bun because you never took her hair out of a ponytail. We're like, wait a minute.
That's not true, ladies and gentlemen. We would never do anything like that.
Those rubber
Let go
arms.
Of me, you Look lousy
those.
Ghoul.
Those are bones.
I
those
love that
bones.
Shot. That's a good shot.
I know.
This is the best scream Bruce ever does.
I know.
Now.
No, this is one where Sam goes, okay, now you're too scared to make a noise. You're too frightened. Well, we ran out of screens after a while. There's a scream later where Sam goes, all right, scream like a woman, because you screamed like a man for so much. We had to come up with new screams.
This is a great game.
Scream, it's only in the
house.
I'm glad that's over.
Ah.
Now, this was actually fake legs. Bruce was on his knees with fake legs.
Right, Denise Drixler was underneath my legs.
And then there was a whole thing she kept saying, and then you just kind of trimmed it down. Aha.
Well, plus, originally, she had a big tongue that came out and went into Bruce's mouth.
Right,
knock,
I remember
which
watching
shot.
The dailies and Sam turning to me going, that is the worst reverse motion acting I've ever seen. You'd only hear that from Sam. This was a rig that was connected to my arm,
yeah.
So the head actually could not come off.
Right.
Weird little shots like that were actually Denise walking with the hand.
With a slit-throat appliance, which ended right
below
her.
Oh, that's charming.
Right.
It's Kurt Russell's favorite.
I got tortured by this line. I met Kurt Russell when I worked with him. I escaped from L.A. He comes up to me and he goes, say work shit. I'm like, what are you talking about? We've been tormented ever since because... I did say the word when we filmed it, but we wound up putting it in slightly the wrong place and a little too loud, so it goes, work shit.
All right, now I have one thing to say about this next scene, because this was written after we had already started shooting. And I remember reading the sequence and this whole like new gag where the chainsaw, headless chainsaw body comes
no,
in.
No, this was written before you guys started shooting.
I don't remember
definitely.
How we ever, but...
Greg, you had your little problem during that.
I think you added some of it.
We added her going nuts in here.
Yeah.
The puppet looked so good. We extended it.
Funny, Greg, because it was a guy on a basin.
Howard was
changing cool. dogs.
Howard was on the creeper and I was up in the rafters with monofilament.
Like this kind of stuff. Yeah.
See, I thought you guys were going to do it like in Reanimator or something, you know?
We shot that in Michigan.
You know what I mean? I didn't know it was going to be like the horror Muppet.
Well, that's
how did they do in Reanimator?
Oh, they just it's just the old routine where it's, you get a short person with
that
headless body.
Now,
you know.
Now smash against Bruce.
But I mean, the way you shoot it, that's the key to make it different. But this is pretty wacky. I love this. Watch this when he pulls. Watch.
I don't think they had made Reanimator yet.
They
had Reanimator.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
They made Reanimator before we made this?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When you and me saw it, you and me saw Reanimator together, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
That was in pre-production?
Maybe just before, perhaps. Yeah, before we shot
so
in Detroit.
That's a fake head. That's a fake head on a stick.
I had no idea.
Poking it to make it move a little bit.
This is fine.
And then, of course, the fake vise.
I get a headache watching this. I don't know.
Her shoulders are inside the vise and through a hole in the table. Same thing. See, she's got black bile on her face because she originally spit bile onto Bruce.
Right.
That got cut out as well.
Right.
Black and green.
Vice and corruption. Horrible. God. There's the demented scene.
Look at the shadow of Bruce's jaw. That is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
It's like Dudley Do-Right. Oh, no.
That was a fake appliance by K&B.
This is a funny scene because it's as though we had the good taste not to show it.
Right.
Yeah, why are you not showing that part?
Right.
You've shown everything else.
It was too horrifying.
Because it was a woman.
Because it was real.
Now, it's okay to torment Bruce because, well...
Oh, we're fine.
He's resilient.
Well, I better go back in that happy cabin.
He's a happy camper.
Now we've got that taken care of.
I hope there's coffee in here.
Coffee mate.
It
was nice of Professor Nobody to lend me that cabin for the weekend. what's this?
It's kind of the basis of the movie, isn't it, in a weird way?
It is.
The coffee mate commercial.
Where's that coffee mate?
Well, if it did, think I'll try it.
Delicious. Anyways.
I actually like this decision coming up. Ash actually has to decide between a chainsaw and a shotgun.
I know.
Which would be better?
Let's
see. Cut their heads off, blow them away. Cut their heads off, blow
I'll blow them away.
Uh-huh.
It's a candy. It's a meal.
It's a dessert topping. Uh-oh.
You get
all right, Sam won't talk about this, so I will. That's Sam's voice underneath that chair. It's a rocking chair sound blended, morphed with Sam Raimi's... since he...
Do that again, Bruce. Thank you. Thank you. It's haunted.
Philip Duffin did this cabin. Remember, we lost our first production designer.
Yeah.
And then Philip Duffin ended up finishing.
We lost him.
We lost him.
Well, there was that bulldozer accident.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
I should probably just touch this thing.
Like you mentioned, Greg, it was built in that gymnasium and up on stilts so that we could build a basement beneath it.
Yes.
It was super hot in that gym.
Oh, I know. We had those big, and especially once we had Ted in the Henrietta makeup, we had to, you know, blast air just on him because he was so...
This is where Ash realizes he's off his rocker.
Probably hard for them to vent that fire. When
so
I who?
Did, so Tony Elwood was a guy that did all the special props, right?
Yeah, he was great. Him and Blanche.
Yeah, Blanche Sindelar.
The sound effect you guys added, that old, like,
it was
phone off the hook line.
Phone off the hook. That's
great. Oh, this is cool.
Every day those guys created a new prop for us, a new specialty prop, and 20 of them from the laughing room.
Now, we got a local college student to be my double here, and Sam kept threatening, if you don't do a better job, I'm going to get that guy. At that point, I was like, get him.
So that's actually
this
makeup.
Is expertly done.
That's the Sid Caesar makeup on Bruce. That's
Caesar.
Right, with just slightly heightened features.
The evil ash that Howard sculpted. Sid Caesar.
We needed the makeup because Bruce can't act.
Yeah.
Let's see, how will we show that Bruce is evil?
How can we hide his face?
That was a cool little set, though, because they built the whole set backwards on the other side of the mirror, just that wall, so that so that we could do the illusion of him coming through the mirror, which
helps
point. Right.
Mirror.
Well, I guess everything's okay now.
But Bruce couldn't see himself.
Animation.
Tom Sullivan did that for us on the spot. Bruce had to hold his hand still, or at least that ass.
No, actually, I drew
that. That was always cool.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah. This is the beginning of the evil hand.
I remember we filmed some hand appliance stuff, and we wound up just using this sort of thing.
We actually also had a change-o hand that had, like, fingernails grow out.
That's right.
And bladders underneath it and stuff like that.
Bladders.
Bladders.
But I think with all that effects business, you got to shoot some stuff, and if it works, it works. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't, you know, you wind up, I think, with this film is a real mix and match of all different kinds of stuff.
And half the, once you cut the hand off, half of the hand action was stuff that I was doing with my hand through a hole. And then John Walter.
Who was the boom guy.
Right. Did a lot of the other. And I just have video of Sam going, no, that's wrong. You have to do it this way. Keep the wrist up. And he's like, I'm sorry. So funny. And Bruce kept tormenting me by stepping on my fingers, and I was like, how's that feel?
That's very important. Important to spread it around.
What? I didn't say that, did
This is like weird anamorphic.
What kind of car is that, Scott, that they're driving?
Wait, that's the Classic.
No, they're not driving the Classic. They're driving something else. Bruce is driving the Classic.
Danny Hicks.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
What is that?
I'm tormented for all these years. I thought, I don't know, it's shooting in such a whacked out fashion. God, it looks like a stunt double for the Classic, but some... Yeesh.
Yeah, sorry, guys, my microphone's falling
Okay,
down.
It's a 68 Impala. There you go.
Uh-oh.
Is this the road to the Novi cabin?
That's right. You ain't going there.
And why not?
He's such a lazy character. What I want to know is, why would he have gone out of his way? There's one road that leads nowhere. Except for this place. to put up roadblocks, you know. I better go check the old bridge.
Somebody called him.
Drive out there and see.
But then he wasn't going to go anywhere after he put up the little things.
And this part, portrayed by Cassie Wesley, was actually originally inspired by Holly Hunter, who we lived with when we wrote this.
That's right.
Sam had a place in Silver Lake with Joel and Ethan Cohen, and Holly Hunter and Fran McDormand were staying with us.
And Kathy Bates at one point.
Oh, yeah, actually. And, and so we thought Holly was this really cool character, so we wrote this part for her and stuff.
Just remember,
but I think Rob really, like, you know, let's get, you know, some sexy chick. Something. I don't know if I'm mistaken or not, but I
You're right.
And I remember Holly Hunter, who was always hanging around the apartment in sweats, reading a script on the couch or something. And then all of a sudden, one day, she wore this miniskirt and this very, like, tight top. And I'm like, Holly, you look very nice this morning. She goes, I'm going to audition dressed as a hooker. I don't take that as a compliment. You shut up. And I'm like, oop. Okay. But she was very cool overall. But how did I know? I just, you know,
she
transformed.
Were there any other famous stars you wanted to tell horrible tales about?
No, that's not so horrible.
Oh, no.
I didn't. I was probably... What can I say? That's always a cool shot.
Look.
Here's Bruce beating the hell out of himself.
Finding out now.
Yes.
No, this is just classic.
With the assistance of Sam undercranking just a little bit.
At that just perfect speed.
Oh, that little camera we had, the Airy S? That's what we shot this with.
Yeah.
Ugly little coffee grinder.
You were actually, yeah, I remember.
But it did the job, right?
Because Sam, you were sitting in the doorway with the little camera shooting up, and then Peter was shooting through the little window.
Exactly.
A lot of these bottles and plates were actually holdovers of our Super 8 days. We would always go into a ceramic store and get unfired stuff because it basically looks like a bowl, but it'll break over your head. So we had years of practice for that.
Scott made a movie starring Bruce Campbell, I think, and myself, Attack of the Helping Hand, which was a big inspiration for this scene.
Right, right.
Super 8.
This is also Sam's voice on the hand.
Which was a comedy version of the Hamburger Helper.
Right.
Helping Hand attacking
commercials.
An innocent, right, housewife. A lascivious, horrible hand.
How many times did your fingernails pop off when we were doing this?
That point of view shot always makes me laugh. The hand's point of view.
Yeah, the hand's POV.
Absurd.
Ow.
This
That's
was tricky because
so
we kind of had one of these, and you guys had to keep it in a refrigerator to keep this little... It was a gelatin hand.
It was a
hand.
Gelatin hand, that's right, and it was about 120 in North Carolina every day, so we had to keep it refrigerated, I remember.
That was a good choice to make a gelatin. It moved real well.
Yeah. And then even when Bruce takes his hand off the knife.
J-E-double-L.
How'd you make the decision to go gelatin?
Just because it had more realistic consistency versus like foam, which kind of looked rubbery.
Yeah.
It was a little translucent. That was me spraying blood in Bruce's face for one of 800 different times.
Well, what was funny about that shot is as the shot creeps into my face, there's 19 crew members coming with the camera holding Hudson sprayers and things like that.
That's right.
So herein lies the payoff of the gag.
Right.
I remember that it was very difficult directing the shot. No, you and the second flashlight, move it left after your second step. Oh, Christ, forget. Just come forward. It was so I couldn't see them.
And hold that flashlight on those pages. And the gag is with this trunk when we did the Foley for, we added like horrible heavy things in there when he does a stumble.
So you hear things shifting around in the trunk, sort of, right?
Miniature,
yeah.
Tom Hitchcock. Miniature. Actually,
now that's my hand right there.
It is.
Who built that?
But
Gary Jones, maybe. Maybe he had something to do with that.
I think Bob had to do with a lot of the miniatures, the Magic Lantern.
That was one of the times when they cut a hole in the floor and my hand was through a hole.
Farewell to Arms by Stubby K.
That was a gag in an earlier movie we did.
That's a Scott gag.
By Stubby K. That's so stupid. As if he was a writer.
Gaffer's tape. Huh? Well, as long as that hand is there, I'm okay.
Everything's all right.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Great music in this movie, by the way.
Yeah, Joe
music
Duca.
Is really amazing.
Low Joe Duca.
That was a big deal, was getting the stump to look right.
Well, what really finally made it less onerous was the fact that there was a steel plate that would keep my wrist from wiggling.
And then it had a flat plate on the front.
I just had to keep my hand back a little bit so it didn't give it away too horribly.
Joe had the great idea of scoring this like a Warner Brothers cartoon.
Right.
Joe LaDuca really helped the sequence. Made it work.
Stop motion animation by Rick Catazone, right? Did Rick Catazone do that?
Like a drug. He did a great job.
I'm on Catazone.
The funniest thing is when the hand crawls in there, we did a bunch of different takes where we had that rat standing right in front of the hole because you wanted the rat to be coming out as the hand went in.
That's funny.
It's so hilarious. There's like shots of the rats just standing there, like, what the heck's happening?
Oh! I love that reaction from Bruce.
I like this combination. It's a combination of, you know, stop that motion and hand,
prosthetic.
Right. Hands and prosthetics, yeah.
Is this the blood flood coming up?
Yeah, it's
don't
blood
ruin
flood.
It.
I'm just remembering being on top of the set and shooting. We had to do that twice.
We had to do that a bunch of times to finally figure it out. Finally, coming up in one of the shots, the set had to be turned sideways so that we could get a downward flow of the water. And Sam goes, now if you're drowning, Bruce, wave your arms. Well, what am I supposed to do? Wave your arms.
Like,
we actually, I remember.
That's the sideways set. I was blowing red out of my nose for about 2 weeks.
There's like some sort of a prop right up to your shoulders.
Right, I was basically on a diving board type thing to keep me level.
But then at this point, then Vern Hyde had those shots where I remember after shooting the shot, we couldn't shoot in there for like the rest of the day because all the blood had to drain out.
It all had to drain out, yeah.
We
had 2 55-gallon drums stacked on top of each other, and there were 4 of those, I think.
Yeah.
And Dale, his assistant, they both did it. Great mechanical effects engineer.
For it's Vern. We must hide.
Now, again, we had to estimate what that blood flood would wind up making me look like. Yeah. You have no idea.
In reality, I was just
one uniform gray color, but we had to give it some variations.
This whole laughing room scene, Sam and I were writing the script, and I did a cheap joke with this gooseneck lamp that we had, and I did a fake Popeye laugh, and I moved the gooseneck lamp, and Sam goes, "We're going to make a scene out of that." And I go, "Yeah, sure we are." Cut to this. This is like one of my favorite scenes, too. Look at that. It's that same gooseneck lamp, too.
And while we were filming, I remember we dragged various crew members. We dragged every crew member we could find to come in and record a laugh.
That's cool.
Because occasionally... you know, you have a crew member who had a pretty good laugh.
Oh, yeah.
And then for this shot, we basically brought every crew member out of the offices because everyone had to wiggle or move something between the clock and the bouncing waste can and things
like
that.
It was all rigged again by Tony and Blanche. Yeah. The puppeteer in that waste can is not doing a good job, though.
It's just sort of floating.
It's like bouncing around like it's laughing. Instead, they're just like up there with a fishing pole. No, let it touch the
really
ground, guys.
They're not
let
quite
it touch the ground.
You're really into it.
Not really. It's probably some heavy grip up there going, what the fuck?
Smoking a cigar.
Sam's direction on that shot was at the beginning. I'm supposed to be laughing my head off, and then by the end, screaming horribly. You know, so I've got the length of a dolly track to go from.
Now he just shot at Annie, right, in the doorway.
But she and really actually got
Bobby Joe.
Bobby.
Oh, that's right. I forget who he. I didn't remember.
Bobby Joe.
I'm a big fan of these long shot, slow, quiet.
They torment
scenes.
The audience.
Of course, because then he goes right out of frame.
Because in crowded audiences, it gives them a chance to go, they're coming in, it's a monster! It just torments them. They can babble ad nauseum.
But this still could be the spirits messing with them, you know?
They're not exactly sure, but
could maybe be them.
That's the edge of the set right there.
What
the? Those little flowers and stuff hiding the balcony where we used to walk up the steps right there.
All right, then.
Sam's like, how does he remember all this stuff?
You have a great memory for these details.
That's just me.
Well, I guess it's okay now. There's nothing out there.
Lower the gun.
The guard is down. It's great about that scare because... Technically, Astrid had to have seen him for at least like 3 seconds.
Absolutely.
That's what's great. But that's why it works so well, because it's, you're like, whoa. Or he could have been like way super fast.
The thing I really like about this scene is that in England, they cut, what they cut out of this, out of the whole movie, was me getting kicked when I'm unconscious. Because in England, you can't kick a man when he's down. But, of course, you could lop heads off and arms and legs, but you can't kick an unconscious man.
You know this son of a
bitch. Yeah. I beg these actors not to harm Bruce in any way.
Yeah.
I beg these actors. This always is great.
Uh-oh, the chainsaw with the blood on it.
And yeah, that ominous scare cord.
You bastard.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Bruce is fine. You can just shake him and slam his head.
Sure, you hit his head on the floor.
He's really used
times.
To this. Don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. He wants you to do it.
He's trying to think of what nasty things he can do to Bruce. Look at him. That's a good idea. I know. It's just so horrible. The audience is like so tormented. Okay, they feel sorry for this poor guy.
He's a coward. He wants to harm. I've got it down again and again and again.
And the audience is so tormented. They're like, no, what are you doing? It's like the worst idea in the world.
As dumb as Ash is, he's actually a capable guy with regard to dealing with monsters. He's the wrong guy to throw it down there.
I know. He want him on your side, not...
Oh!
Remember we put that line in.
This was a very good stunt, I thought, by John Cassino. It's one stunt that's like, I'm not going to hurl myself down these stairs, but he really did. He got all amped up and just flung himself down the stairs.
But there was just a one clean shot of it where it really looked painful. I think through editing, you like maybe almost twice elongated the fall itself, maybe took a little of the pain out, which is kind of cool.
And Tony and Vern helped me with some breakaway steps.
Right.
How many times did we break those steps, though? Because then we throw ash through them later when Henrietta comes out of the ground, too. So it was like we broke those steps like six times.
Well, it was a 12-step program, as I recall. This is my dad's tape recorder.
This is some exposition.
These are his comments.
No,
they're horrible.
Bruce wouldn't let me throw him down the steps.
I'm afraid. For the first time in my life, I'm afraid.
He said, Bruce, don't be afraid. And he started to cry. And it was real embarrassing for the crew and the cast. I pulled him in another room, and I said, Bruce, I want you to pull yourself together and do this little stunt. This is not a big flight of stairs. And I swear to God, he started to cry, and I had to hit him. I slapped him, and I brought him around. There's a PA walking through the door. That's why sometimes you hear this story. Told.
Are you putting
That's true.
And close the door, son. You shouldn't see this. He closed the door, and...
And then Joe Winograd off came in and
about an hour later Bruce went home because he had broken down.
Don't bring that story up, Sam.
And
I was scared.
John Cassino finally did the piece of business
for $50.
Well, at least there's a rat down here.
That was a rat, Senior Cajones.
Cajones is Spanish.
This is where Sam says, "All right, scream like a woman." All right, like a woman.
The only thing I have to say is, all right, there's some stop motion. That was stop motion by Rick Catazone. This is probably the person that was tormented more than Bruce in the movie, Ted Raimi.
Yeah.
Who had to endure...
Ted was.
The hours and hours.
Otherwise, it
would
have had to have been Lou Hancock, but she was a little... You know, I think she probably wouldn't have taken that abuse very well, so Sam figured, well, let's just torture Ted. He's a young kid.
Plus, and he had no idea what he was getting himself into. I mean, Mark Sjostrom sculpted this makeup and applied it. He was the head of the department, of course, and it's really an amazing makeup. Full body suit, feet.
Which was about a six-hour job, right?
Yeah, it was like four and a half.
It
I think when we
putrid.
First did
it's
it.
Really it's a good job you guys did.
Well, he had dentures, contact lenses. Every ounce of his skin was covered.
With something horrible.
Something horrible.
My favorite image is you guys on video. You got taking his little monster booties off at the end of the day and pouring the sweat in.
Oh, please.
Saving it in cups.
Unpleasant.
There's the peewee head.
And who did that stop motion bit?
Rick Catazone. Now, this is all skip frame stuff, I remember.
Yeah, Skip did a good job.
Skip was excellent.
But that was a head, obviously, Mr. Pee-wee head.
Yeah, Mark Sjostrom sculpted that, of course, as well. And I think Larry O'Dean did the mechanics.
Ouch.
I love that gag with the hole in the wall.
Headache.
That's excellent.
I love it when actors get beaten up. They don't get beat up in movies anymore. It's like not politically correct or something.
I know.
Here we go.
Boom. Eyeball.
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 Pring.
Kind of doing the whole like riff.
You have
on
to talk. You guys have to talk
about
the Jennifer
microphone.
That, yeah.
I was watching this movie in New Orleans with a test screening, and that's when two guys got up and ran out of the theater, and not because they were afraid, it's because they were laughing so hard. They had to pat themselves on the back and they were out of breath.
Those were gelatin eyeballs too. We had to keep those in the refrigerator until we were ready to shoot with them because we were afraid they were going to melt.
Who would run out of the theater because they're laughing so hard? That doesn't make any sense.
It was very strange. These were strange guys, and then they stayed at the exit door the rest of the time, going Everything's okay now.
Whew. There's something out there.
He just figured that out.
He's trying to warn them.
That witch. This is where Ash is spewing wisdom, I want you to know. He's the only guy who knows what's going on around here. It lived.
He's trying to remember his lines.
That's where those William Shatner pauses come in handy.
Six lines in this script, he can't remember. It lives out there in the woods. Out there in those woods.
Well, it's terrifying. On the call sheet, it said Bruce has dialogue today.
Uh-oh. Bobby Joe.
Oh, no.
You're getting manhandled there. What's that? What's
I know. He's that? Groping me again. Jake has a secret thing for me, I think.
Oh, here's the lullaby.
So haunting.
That
Well, here's what I need you to do, lady. Get down in the cellar and start singing this song.
But I want to be in Places in the Heart with Sally Field. How did I end up
get
here?
Get in that cellar!
When you were a baby, Mother. Quickly.
She's good, though. She was also in that film Miracle Mile, which is kind of a cool film.
No, look at him.
I know better.
I know.
She's got contacts and she don't do it.
You were born no, September 2nd, 1962.
I love Joe's scoring here. He took that theme and
yeah, it's very creepy.
Underlaid it here.
So strange it would be snowing in September.
They were making snowmen, little snowmen.
That thing in the cellar is not my mother.
Oh, here we go.
It's not my brother.
Yeah, hello. This is a cool monster. Her monster.
This is a great makeup. Shannon Shea designed this makeup. It's so excellent.
Look at that mouth. It's really interesting.
This is me talking, Sam.
That's
and
right.
I was just supposed to be for a temp mix, you guys, and then use it in the real movie. I'm wait, I can
do
it so much better.
I actually did some looping for this that we did in Ferndale, Michigan, just for a temp also, and then when I did it out here in California, Sam went, no, I like that other stuff better, because sometimes when you do temp weird stuff, it just works better.
That's
so
weird. Or you get used to it or something. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
This monster's so cool. I love this move Sam does with this creature. Watch it, just like Vaso torture. Yeah, all of a sudden just.
Oh, that's right. And we actually made a fake head. That fake head that swallows the swallows the hair.
Disgusting.
Horrible.
Talk about a furball.
Look at that mouth. It's the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth.
There was just a book that had like all the famous like Texas Chainsaw Psycho, and it had Evil Ed on there. I thought that was such a really cool like thing.
Now we did
a little lightheaded.
He also had finger extensions on, and then he had dentures that had extra sets even
plus,
behind
this
the
is my
dentures.
Favorite part is. Okay,
come
now,
back here, you
now, Bruce. I want you to look like you're sort of afraid, but you're not really. And we want
that
you to
was great.
To
I love that
power.
Shot. Ow.
Oh my!
This is an R lame attempt to get an R rating. We were contractually obligated to deliver an R rated picture, so you know, we use pretty much every color but red.
And actually, I think this was. That was my hand, and it was John Walter's other hand, because we kept having
right.
to stunt double our hands.
But wasn't there a shot that you filmed of actually the monster with its head severed?
Yeah,
I
it comes
so.
Back to life, actually.
Right.
At this point, there was a whole sequence where the body parts are still on the ground alive, and Bruce yells, get the chainsaw, we're going to chop them up. And then he gets up, and his half of his head is gone and all that stuff.
Ouch.
Everyone's looking at me going, did that ever happen?
No, I don't know if the... I have a different memory. I remember we had a shot of all the pieces flopping on the body, flopping on the floor, but I don't remember an additional sequence.
Hmm.
Well, once we cut the top of his head off, then they fought with him a little more with
right
the top
about
of his head missing.
Chop top.
Yeah, chop top.
That's right.
That trail we came in here on? Well, it just ain't there no more.
Is that a dove that's out of sync?
Yeah, a little out of sync. Sure, you gotta have a little rubber.
Would you
swallow
her up?
I'm dubbed something fierce.
Wouldn't you just swallow her up?
Actually, kind of like... I like this sequence
shot,
because
yeah.
At one point, there's actually absolutely no sound on the soundtrack whatsoever. There's no ambience, there's no crickets, and every sound eventually just goes away for a couple of seconds before all this noise starts.
The boom boom room.
Oh, that's right, I remember.
Yeah, some anamorphic.
That was the inner velocimeter shot, right?
Intervelometer with an anamorphic lens.
Right, and it went
unsqueezed.
We made a lot of these little whoosh by sound effects with a toy that you can buy at a drugstore. It was a little wow, wow sound effect that we kind of mixed with other stuff.
Now those shots took a long time to do because you were
sort
of...
Yeah, it's like animation with humans.
Yeah.
It's nice, though. It gave a very strange effect. It flattened everything. Everything. It looked like a picture book or something.
The hell is that?
Yeah, here's...
Maybe something trying to force its way into our world.
Why would you say that?
Because it's all horror.
Why would that thought occur to you? That doesn't make any sense. I always laugh when I hear that.
I know, but he knows these spirits somehow better than the rest of those guys.
He does. Ash knows what's going
he's
on.
Got a,
he's not
knows.
Half as dumb as he
like
looks.
Like a fifth and
or maybe
a half,
it's a
five and a half cents.
Maybe it's a spirit trying to revert to its unborn stuff. Why don't you say something like that? That makes about
he's not
sense.
That bright.
This is my Ronald Reagan imitation coming up.
We'll all go in together.
Me and Mommy.
Oh.
Hell no. I thought you meant the part about not remembering that there's monsters in that room.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't
remember. A mouse.
Well, I don't recall that there were monsters in here.
She just leaves.
I'll have to have a look.
I'm scared, I'm thinking.
Hey. Dang, Nabbit, I'm coming with you. Bringing the lantern.
Dang, Nabbit.
Never mind that. Get the chainsaw.
Finally, someone else who can suffer with me.
A lantern, that's a good idea. That'll stop the monster.
It's a magic lantern.
Lady, why don't you turn around and get the gun, the saw, and a blade? And I'll stay here. Why do we have to go in that room is what he should be saying.
Because she has to see who it is that's in the room. Yeah, nobody else would recognize her.
Remember, Sam, we were going to have a whole seance scene here in the script. Remember that? That was kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, I don't know why that we cut that out.
I'm not sure. It would be kind of cool.
We maybe couldn't afford a Ouija board?
Joe Stillman, Joe Stillman wouldn't get one.
Right. It would have been kind of cool, actually. They could have had a makeshift kind of seance thing. For some peculiar reason, didn't quite jibe or something.
I thought Joe did a good job in this picture. He was our production manager, mm-hmm. line producer, I think. Very good job.
Ah,
really kept control of the budget, allowed us to do a lot.
Shoot. I told you there weren't nothing in here, no way.
You said you're a loser.
Wait, I forgot about this. Okay.
It's a good gag.
I remember now.
Well, everything's okay now.
I like this effect. John Peake, the actor, did a really good job of portraying that kind of 1960s Halloween record type agony.
Right, I know. Thrills and chills of the haunted house.
Yeah.
Dark spirit.
Because he's like in horrible agony. I really like that.
Your salvation lies there.
Weren't we going to have a come out of the wall, kind of like that Frighteners type of effect or something? It just was not budgeted.
Well, I know that his makeup was kind of black or white to allow for some of that.
Yeah, Howard did sort of like a highlight and shadow makeup on him.
This weird sound as the traction of the pages was done with a basically a dust-off can into an oil funnel. And then we just sampled that and played it like a musical instrument.
Tamaqua t-shirt.
All right.
Jake.
Great camp for boys and girls.
Uh-oh.
We put it in the original Evil Dead also.
That's right.
No.
It's hard to put it in the Western.
I'm not holding
it. It's hard to put a Delta also.
Oh, that evil hand again.
That's the radio-controlled evil hand that Larry O'Dean built for us. That's right, because she runs off into the woods.
She panics. We all know what happens when you panic.
And then he wants to go out into the woods and try. It's like, oh, man.
Ash is a fool, but it's not a panicker. Panickers die in these movies.
That's right.
The whole idea behind this was actually to take that, what happened in the first one step further and take around like that wacky joyride and stuff.
Right.
And obviously, what would have been kind of... Actually, originally, Sam, I think we did it with a guy.
We had
those horrible convicts, you know, we had like a whip plot of like convicts tormenting Bruce or something. They buried the treasure. But this is going to happen to a guy, which obviously would have been more painful. And the idea was that he was being dragged. And actually, I think you would try to do it with this. You did it with this or something, but for taste version, you cut it out. And you get the overhead traveling shot as the vines are opening up his legs, his or her legs. And then you cut to that tree coming right in there and splits him in two like a wishbone. But it's pretty damn effective. It's worked great, actually. And it's pretty grim.
This is all done.
This stuff's more fun and more cool.
This is all reverse
action stuff.
Way cooler, actually.
Right. I love that horrible, like, fly, like, weird soundtrack.
I think Cassie did a really good job with this because you do have to act in reverse motion. You've got to start.
Yeah, you're right.
You have to remember.
That's right.
Backwards.
You, Horrible.
And when you watch it, you don't really notice.
That's a reverse shot of the vines being pulled out of her face. They were latex vines, and then we reversed it.
She's actually still on one of those soap operas, I think. I forget which one, but...
As the stomach turns?
Yeah, one of those.
Well, she used to be on Guiding Light.
Yeah, maybe it's Guiding Light. I don't know. I could have sworn I saw her. I'm like, wait, I know who that is.
But I don't think she's on that show anymore. That was years ago.
I know. It was weird, though. Maybe it was some other show. I don't know.
She's happily married and living in Los Angeles. I spoke to her about 2 years ago.
Oh, cool. Oh, very fancy. I like that transition, Sam. That's cool. Now, that's so cool. Very eerie and effective.
We gotta go out there and find her.
Screw off.
She's not. Forget about it. We gotta go out of those woods. What an idiot.
What's wrong?
Like someone just walked over my grave.
I should have helped you with a camera thing there, probably. And relied less on your, quote, acting.
Oh.
You know what kills me?
This is nothing but a vicious attack.
This picture has me with white pants and a blue shirt. And what it was a sketch taken from like a Polaroid or something. I went out there just in rehearsal clothes with white pants and a blue shirt. And that's what they wound up drawing.
They didn't really understand.
They didn't know Ash's wardrobe from the
I don't know, for whatever reason.
Well, I get it's funny that Tom Sullivan did not draw that page for some reason.
Right.
Tony may have. Did Tony draw?
Could it have been an after thing that we shot later or some nonsense? No, it was there.
Uh-oh.
Rotten Applehead.
Rotten Applehead.
Rotten Applehead.
What the hell would we want to do that?
Recitation of the second passage.
She saves your butt in this picture. That girl really...
She kind of does it in a weird sort of way. She saves ass.
She's real serious.
Ass.
She's very serious, yeah. She's really... We should have made her an evil horror woman, though, for a second.
She would have been great as a monster.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
She's got hard features.
Rob really thought like, she should be like... They made her look like that in one of the posters, and we're going...
That's right.
Yeah, she looked cool. I love that.
Yeah, the British poster has
her.
Yeah, that British poster looks like a scene from House on Haunted Hill, the she-hag in the cellar.
Yeah, the witch woman. That's great. Yeah, exactly.
I like trying to reason with Jake. If he'll just listen to me, everything
will be okay. He's starting to listen a little
bit. He's too stupid.
So great. What an
idiot. He's just too lazy to listen.
Danny Hicks did a great job. He's such a horrible creature in this. Don't mean squat.
Uh-oh.
Of course, naturally, he has to throw him down there. Although I thought when you did it, he should have been right there to begin with.
That's
the only thing that kind of tormented me. He shouldn't have. It was he should have just been there and just lifted his foot and tossed him down so it was as painless as possible.
Block the scene then if you feel that.
The cabin's still there. We can go back.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's in such good shape.
It's in such good shape.
Now, this again was shot in the first two weeks. I actually lost quite a bit of weight during the course of this movie. You can see that I'm physically much heavier in this, and we had to just sort of pour. Sam took styrofoam cups with just different colored goo and poured them on because we had no idea what some of the effects would be to this point. We had to sort of guess.
Oh, this.
Because we shot all the exteriors first.
The first 2 weeks.
Exteriors.
Yeah.
That's right. There was a great gag that we actually shot when Bruce becomes possessed. It's not in the movie, but I have video of it, of you picking up a squirrel.
Yeah, and eating it.
And eating it.
Guts out of the squirrel.
Yeah,
there's a piece of monofilament on the tail, wiggling the tail, and it's so funny. I think they're going to put it on the disc. It's so funny.
There was a mongoose, actually.
That's a miniature, right?
Yeah, also in Michigan.
Because what happened was we shot this from May until almost September of 1986.
Right.
And then I remember we went off and did Creepshow 2, and then we came to Michigan in December and shot additional stuff, including the shot of Linda getting the torso getting shot and stuff.
That's right. Was that weird seeing us in our nest in Michigan?
I didn't really see much of you guys except we're all on set. I remember Denise Bixler showing up with like this big giant fur coat and going, "Oh hi, okay, well, guess we can't put any blood on you." But we shot all those others.
But she was a trooper, that Denise.
She was great.
An actress that you can really put through the paces like that, bend this way.
She had a lot of
put your head in this weird position.
Yeah, she had a lot to do.
She did a lot. And did
he's even horribly mean to her. What an evil character.
He's mean to everybody.
He loved this.
This is a crybaby. Come on.
I bet.
I like it because he's a scout. You hopefully expect him to get it.
I know.
What I like about Danny is when he came into audition, he was fine and everything, but then when he pulled out his teeth, is this a little better? I think that's what sealed his part. I like how horribly sweaty he is.
I know. It's
and now he's terrified.
we have to talk about this because this dummy.
I love this simple little effect here. That rules.
That shot of the
really
dummy.
Painful.
Sam's like, I want to be able to lift up this dummy over his head. And we're like, okay. So we tied monofilm to the arms and legs so that it could kick while Bruce picks it up.
That's right. Yeah.
And it looks so funny. I mean, it cuts great, but. See, now that's back on the stage because that's in the back door with the leaves. And the one thing I don't think anybody realizes is that when you have those contact lenses on, you're completely blind.
Now you can't see squat.
You can't see anything. So anytime we would put the lenses in Bruce, we would have to lead him around and he'd have to rehearse blind.
Sam, is that a replica there or the real thing?
I believe that's the real thing. Tom Sullivan. I had saved them, actually. The Book of the Dead. And the Kandarian dagger. I believe Tom Sullivan now has the original Book of the Dead. But that is from the first picture. And it was still rigged to pour blood out of its snout. From when you stab Shelley in the first picture.
That's right. I like this section of the film because it's a bit of a throwback to Within the Woods,
right.
The Super 8 film that we used to raise money for the first Evil Dead. Because at one point, one of the characters becomes possessed. And you lose, basically, your main character now is a horrible possessed monster. I think it's a really good twist in the course of the film.
Exactly.
It really, I think it keeps people kind of guessing of what anything could happen in this movie, which is, I think, fun. I'm laughing because one of my favorite sequences
is coming up. I know what you're going to say. I'm laughing my head off, too. And
it's the most horribly violent, painful scene ever shot.
Oh.
I can't breathe.
Smart girl.
Yeah, Ash would have just opened the door. She's way smarter. This series should have had her. It would have been a lot shorter. It would have been only shot one sequel.
Oh.
He's the most unsympathetic character in movie history. He's just the most horrible animal. He's absolutely useless.
But I find him infinitely entertaining because he's such a fool.
Ash saying that about a character is a very unique thing.
I know.
I'm saying that someone else is a moron.
And then Within the Woods, it was Ellen Samwise as the girl and me being tormented. I could feel his pain.
She keeps closing the door. And here's you ripping the door off the hinges.
Yeah. Just make that.
Really milking that screen door, aren't you?
Yeah.
It was a screen test.
I wanted screen time.
Although her scream is
that woman has got a
weird
scream.
Yeah, I don't know. Just cut to Ash on the other side, plugging his ears.
You win. Can't stand it any longer. Damn you.
This is it. I absolutely love this scene.
I love what he says.
I can't breathe.
Because first she has to pull the knife out, and then she's going to drag him about 90 feet down the hall.
It's too horrible. It's really disgusting.
He should just say to her, you know, don't do me any more favors.
Just leave me alone.
Now, didn't he?
She's only dragging him to be ground up, after all.
No, she's leave dragging him to his death.
Well, here's the weird thing. In the script,
the script
my imagination
different.
Is that, he always ends up by that trap door, either to throw the pages down or to what's about to come up here to be eaten. But I'm so glad that this worked out this way, because this is one of my favorite things in the movie. It's just the most painful, funny thing ever.
She's yelling at him to shut up.
Oh, I know. It's just the funniest thing in the world, so I'm so glad that guys did this.
So, Sam,
that was so classic.
Was this? I don't remember this being the original way that he died.
He's screaming at it.
Because I don't remember. I remember us shooting another version, I don't know if you remember, of him getting killed, because I know that this was an afterthought of all the blood gushing out of this trapdoor.
What was our original idea?
I don't remember. Oh. I've seen a few.
I thought that Scott's story was that the original idea was he just lands, when he came in the door, right near the trapdoor.
Right, of course. Then you get to the logistics and you go, wait a minute, well, the trapdoor can't be there. It's just one of those things when you get out of the set and go, okay, wait, forget that. So this is so hilarious.
This is a great gag. I remember
the whole scene. This is one of my favorites.
This was another one of the fire hose.
Well, it's kind of frustrating on one level because it's like I understand Sam having to direct this because, but I mean, I thought the blood would be
at this point I would have let go if I was. You don't want to be pulling up what's on the other end of that.
That's what I'm saying. Is I don't remember that blood spray being something that we initially did. I think that was something later. We went, oh, it wouldn't be cool if we did that. Because now, look, she's perfectly clean.
Right.
And, Sam, we had a gag where like that, where you think it's Ash right. entering the room, and it was just the severed hand, another one of those hand routines. But I think you trimmed it out just for pacing and stuff. Oh, that stunt woman was great. Yeah, that was a good stunt. Cutting in the shots of that.
Debbie Lynn Allen. Terrific. I can't remember her name.
You're right. What happened originally was... he was simply pulled down into the cellar, and that was it.
Right.
But later, when it came time to shoot that moment, I thought it would be better to have a...
horrible blood spray.
A fire truck off. Right.
I didn't think it would be that much blood or whatever. I thought it just might be, a couple of gallons.
Well, there's an intermediary stage makeup here that Howard did on Bruce with bladders underneath the... for the swelling.
His primitive wheels are turning.
No, I love that. Remember that routine?
He remembers the good old days. Good old days when he was here at the cabin before with his other girlfriend. You will believe a monster can cry.
Poor Ash. Yeah, originally we had an intermediary stage, remember, with the bladder?
Yeah.
Some bladders underneath it to show the transformation.
But considering the performance, I thought it was best to trim it down a bit. No, get right to the point.
So to speak.
I like how long it takes to convince her that I'm not bad anymore. She keeps attacking me like 4 or 5 times.
I know, that axe is a little too light. It always lightly bothers me.
It's the Porta rubber axe.
It's like, yeah, it just needs to be like 8 ounces too heavy or something. But that's all right. It comes mighty close to Bruce.
Damn it!
He does his Chuck Heston
thing.
Yeah,
I was going to say, this is Charlton Heston.
Silent green is people!
Get your dirty paws off me.
Damn dirty.
Huh. All right, see? Everything's going to be fine now. Ash is back, so shut up about it.
But for how long?
Now she's pissed again.
Yeah, I know. Like, leave me alone.
A little upset.
If we're going to beat this thing, we need those pages.
No, I'm too stupid. You show me how.
Then let's head down into that cellar.
I love Grisha. Yeah, I'll never forget Sam describing this when we're writing it. Just exactly perfect.
I remember.
I do. The visuals are just absolutely just exactly the way you described. This is so cool.
I like building these gizmos. Those are entertaining parts of movies, I think. When heroes who normally wouldn't know how to do any
sequence.
Of that.
But you really don't quite sure what he's doing. And then you go,
it took 4 months, but we've built it.
I know.
Really, they come outside, it's like the next day.
This is a cool effect.
Look at you.
Groovy.
Ash is the cheesiest.
Now that groovy is actually an on-set groovy, and then we looped a groovy over on top, so it's actually two groovies.
Did Clint Eastwood loop one of those groovies?
I think he
did. That was a cool miniature.
I love that. Horrible.
That root
comes
up. That's really cool.
Roots. Gary Jones. It's Root 666.
I think Gary Jones built it for Tom Hitchcock and Bob Deck. I think that's how it worked.
Because I remember, because you did that in post also, because I had never seen those shots. And when we came to Michigan for the reshoots, I remember seeing that. I go, man, that was really great stuff.
At the time, I was really impressed.
The Baw Tree.
Finally, they get their act together. You know, she's waiting with the axe.
Right.
He's going to cut their ass with that.
They're working together. They're going to cart themselves.
Those pages are down there somewhere.
It's funny, all their torments is because of that idiot Danny Hicks, Jake, just screwed everything up.
Right, Jake is personally responsible for about 10 minutes in this picture.
He just really screwed things up. I mean, things are bad enough. I need to look for the silly pages.
Actually, we missed the little in joke in the shed, which was the Freddy Krueger claw. Remember that Tony Elwood made that was hanging above the door? Because didn't you have a Nightmare on Elm Street poster in the basement here? It was like a little homage to Wes.
That's right. The great Wes Craven. Mostly because what it was he in Nightmare on Elm Street, I'm sorry, on Hills Have Eyes, there was a Jaws poster that was torn in half after the creatures had gone through there. So we had thought that meant to say that Wes had meant to say the Jaws monster was just a pop culture icon, which these real monsters have torn to bits. This is real terror. So what Bruce and I and Scott did was we took a Wes Craven poster and Rob Tappert and tore that in half to say, no, Hills Have Eyes is just a pop horror. This
that's right.
is real horror.
That's right. Then in Nightmare on Elm Street, the kid's watching an Evil Dead movie.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, Johnny Depp actually watching that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And now this, Sam, I still get emailed to this day about this. Why did you go in the hand in the cellar, and now your stench is on your other hand? What happened with that? It's like, shut up. The film was flopped so that the screen direction would work, but for a brief moment, my chainsaw goes to the opposite hand.
Hey, you're ambidextrous.
I think what happened was you forgot what hand it was one morning. You woke up with one of your hangovers. You put this on the wrong hand. And now you're going to have to take the blame.
Well, this was actually, we shot this at the end of the schedule because they rebuilt the whole basement and added all these pipes. So no, after we were done shooting in the basement, then we went in and shot this stuff.
That's right.
But Bruce, you cut off your left hand and now your right hand is left.
Yeah, because I...
Yeah, that's always a good one. Ah, horse. Oh,
man. Oh my, that's right. That's supposed to be Jake.
Icky.
The horrible remnants of Jake.
Jake.
Poor Jake, I knew him.
Bone
well.
Man of Tartu.
I got the pages. Everything's all right now.
It's like he's nearsighted. He holds those things 2 inches from his eyes.
I know.
Yeah, cut this man. Bring him up higher.
It's really
bring him up higher.
Kondarian.
I can't see him in my frame. Bring him up higher.
Higher. Uh-oh. Never walk backwards in a horror movie, folks. Let this be a lesson to you. Out of his gourd. Boom, boom. Okay, I'm nervous.
Well, he'll make it just fine. We had to glue like a weight inside those pages so they would all go up together.
It should take backwards motion.
I know, actually.
It's like, whoop.
This is cool. They're going to...
All right, do your stuff, baby.
Yeah, there you go.
She saved your butt in this picture. I don't know how you would have survived.
Yeah! Ow.
That was a Brusso cam. The camera was taped to my chest.
Yeah, she's taking charge.
I know, she's taking out her wall.
There goes the steps.
Well, maybe you'd like to have her fight the creature in the basement.
Actually, that would be good for Evil Dead 4, I think.
What
I
the hey?
Thanks, Bruce.
I love this shot. Like, it's shot in weirdo motion, but it's funny. It's cool.
We're coming up
this
here.
This was Torture Ted Day, because we actually, Rob Tappert and a couple other guys were underneath pushing him up platform, and he actually fell over, and the suit ripped in half.
He's pouring sweat.
Funny. Yeah, you can.
Here.
He was soaking the whole crew here.
No, there's one shot, you will see it on camera, sweat horribly pouring
out of
his ear.
I know. And there's even a big rip in the crotch of the suit, because this was like the last week, and the suit had been destroyed. Here it is. This is a shot with the sweat pouring, I think, right here.
Right here. Right near the end.
Yeah, there it is. Dripping out of his ear.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's horribly pouring out.
Oh.
Bruce, you said let's go. That was right before you broke up.
I started laughing horribly.
The bloat beast.
I love that sound of that woman screaming, ow!
Ow! Ow! Ow!
Ted.
She's molting.
He turns into a pencil neck geek. With that weird monkey sound. A minky.
The peewee head. Now, I remember I was puppeteering this. I had the peewee head on my arm.
That's right.
So then we did all the shots of the close-up of it coming in.
Now, who did that sort of stop motion?
Rick Catazone did that stuff as well.
Are you sure Doug didn't do
Beswick?
Doug Beswick may have, but I know Rick Catazone did a lot of it.
Remember, I shot the plate and gave him the storyboard.
Maybe Doug Beswick did do this, actually. I may be mistaken. So that was me with the peewee head on my arm.
Saves you about a second time.
Huh. I'll send her a card.
I think she actually deserves starring credit the more I think about this.
Ow, the pain.
And saw you later.
Dabs the monster in the back.
That was a farewell to arms.
Monofilament.
I'll swallow your dough. Hey!
I love it. This is so bizarre.
That's a deflating balloon.
With red smoke coming out of it. Watch it. Great exploding head. This is a gelatin head.
Swallow this.
Ugh. And Sam Raimi as the beast.
And we put a fake foot on that head so that we didn't
blow
up.
That's right, because it actually had to really blow. I remember we all had to get out of there.
Yeah, we shot it like 500
frames a second. Oh, that was a fake foot, eh?
Yeah.
Mm. It was permanently there.
Permalock.
Mm. Permalock, yeah.
Well, that's what he was saying. Swallow your soul of your shoe.
She's kind of the hero when you think about it. He's kind of doing that cleanup.
I know.
I never quite realized it until this moment.
But now the blood's on the other side of her shirt.
Everything's okay now. Well, we can go away together. You and me and Mommy.
What the heck?
Thus begins the zoom boom sequence, I think it was called.
Zoom boom boom? A tarantula. This is cool.
We really got our money's worth out of that set, I tell you.
I think so, too. During this sequence, it was basically literally destroying it. The picture was shot sort of in sequence after the first couple of weeks.
At least everything on the stage was, once you got there.
Right.
Yeah. Cool that he caught that swing.
Yeah.
This has a real, like, demented Wizard of Oz-ish quality about it. Jeez.
We had everybody. I had everybody throwing fake boards. Tony and Blanche especially.
And I remember when we recorded the sound, we actually found a house in Michigan that was owned by someone in Florida. We got them to sign a release letter because it was an abandoned home. And we went in there with basically axes and hammers and stuff and just destroyed the home and just recorded it all for some of the sequence.
Yeah, this was like the last week of shooting was just...
That place was falling apart, seriously.
Yeah. It was the day after the Evil Dead 2 talent show. Remember that?
The entrance.
Remember the talent
show? The Rotten Apple
Head. I do. Yeah. What did you do in the show?
Bruce loves his show.
I played guitar for you guys, and you sang 8 Mile Line or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I had a memory block. Like when something horrible happens.
Yeah. Now, incidentally, this Rotten Apple Head, we found out was used that same fall at a local Wadesboro haunted house. They just put it at the end of a hallway. Because we didn't haul it back. It was too heavy. We just...
Oh, there's where my hand went.
We left it.
I was looking for that thing.
When I told you I needed a hand, I didn't mean that, man.
So the Rotten Apple Head is so horrifying that it makes Bruce's hair turn gray. There.
That's right.
That was actually, didn't you guys animate that?
Yeah, it was a frame at a time.
Tom Sullivan did that with us.
Yeah.
And did a very good job. Although the concept at the time was, he's so scared that his hair streaks white in that moment. I'm not sure that it's communicated properly. I mean, I don't think people have any idea what's supposed to be happening there. That's the Delta 88 Oldsmobile, the classic.
And the time tunnel's opening up.
It's been in every picture we've ever made.
Except one. Except
this one. This is a cool shot. I love this.
Oh.
I'll gouge your eye out.
Oh, she's dead.
She can't say the words, fellas.
This is surreal.
No, that's all the faces of all the actors that have been killed by the evil force. There's a face of you in there, though.
I know,
because
I'm next.
Gee, when those pages flew away, listen to the musical soundtrack. It sounds like Danny Elfman's Batman. Da-da-da-da.
Yeah, it does. It does. I want to call Danny.
That's from. Those heads were supposed to be all the souls that the thing had taken in the past.
Yeah, through the course of the movie, because there's each face cast that we did, they made a face for it.
I forgot whose idea that was. That was a great contribution, though.
Who designed that? I remember seeing the sketches. It was somebody you knew in Michigan.
Then there was something like that in one of the Nightmare movies, too. It was weird. Can't really remember. I don't know which one it was. I love that.
I like this, though.
Just keep thinking, expecting to see the woman on the bike from Wizard of Oz. Well, I'll just hold on to this.
Here I had to walk with chains on my feet because as soon as I get to the window, the effects guys yanked it up. Sam goes, you walk like you got a problem. Well, yeah, I got a 12 inches of chain.
Bully.
So I guess they were pulling your chain.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I just said it before you did, Scotty.
Are you putting me on? There he goes. I'm falling.
That was your favorite blue screen day.
Oh, yeah.
The wire action there. This is Sam's favorite last weapon.
I like this very obscure part coming up. No, right here.
I know, I do too.
No, this is the weird one.
Check Benny playing the violin. What is that? It's pretty quacky.
He's time boy. He's caught between the nether time.
Watch it.
This was shot at a gravel pit outside of Wadesboro.
That's great. Remember that.
Scott, aren't you one of these guys that come in at the end?
Oh, yeah, one of the suit-of-armor guys, you can see.
And my Uncle Sidney is there.
Yeah, and Teddy. Teddy's one of the suit-of-armor guys, that's right.
And wasn't someone else there?
Jeffrey.
This was the North Carolina National Guard, I think, were kind
of
to
come. That's right. They came in with a big busload of these guys.
Did you, like, desaturate the color in this or something? Give it kind of like, or no?
Yes, Kay Davis and an optical effects man from a laboratory in Los Angeles desaturated the negative.
That's pretty
cool.
They,
I don't know if they broke into the three primaries or not and recomposited them, but I think that's what happened.
It gives it a nice, cool, like, that's otherworldly...
Tom Sullivan animation.
Tom Sullivan.
Yeah, that Deadite, winged Deadite. It really looks cool.
He and Bart Pierce really work together well on this picture and Evil Dead 1. Was that your version of it there?
No, that was his version.
Yeah. Oh, wow. He built the
I remember he was, like, exploding cantaloupes and trying to analyze how
that's that Ted Raimi there coming down the slope.
You can just tell, right?
Yeah, it's just, you know that's Ted.
Exactly.
Just by the way he moves.
Exactly.
Wonder who this other guy is.
I don't know. I think...
G.I.
I wonder who that...
Ah!
Oh, no! Sam. And Sid and Ted.
My wife has since seen me act, and she has barred me from appearing in any other motion pictures.
Is that right?
That's her contribution to the industry.
Now, guys, this voice track here was recorded in Ferndale. This was also from the temp, and Sam liked this better, so we wound up using it in the finished thing.
Sam,
rough quality to it.
Aren't I like the fist on the the right side of frame?
Rob is the late hand at the end. He's
oh, okay. I might be one of the ones...
And you're late. And end the movie.
Oh, so it is Rob.
You were on time. You had good timing.
Oh, okay. Oh, guys, that it's too tough
that
with
Bruce
Sam.
Who?
You can't miss a trick with that guy.
Well, therein lies.
But it was great fun writing this, pal.
Irvin Shapiro was our mentor. He really gave us a chance by selling the first Evil Dead picture, and
right.
So he was our honorary producer on
my
this
boss.
Film.
Peter Deming, who also shot Scream 2 and Austin Powers.
Shag it, man.
Philip Duffin, great job. Randy was our original production designer. Kay did a great job cutting it. Cassie was a great, great pleasure to work with. So was all these people were.
Yeah, I think it worked out pretty well with all the actors. They were pretty game. Which
we tortured
really,
everybody,
you had
too.
To be. Everyone got tormented equally, pretty much.
Torture pleasures me.
That's right, Blanche did a stunt or two. What did she do? She was the prop woman, and she's there under stunts. She did some crazy thing.
I don't remember.
Blanche.
Joe Winogradoff, great AD. He really had us prepared properly.
Yeah, Joe Wino.
Elizabeth Moore worked great as a set decorator. Very talented.
Best boy.
And Tim Philo from the original Evil Dead movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's in second unit photography. I forgot about that.
Right.
Look at that. Berger, Kurtzman, Nicotero. This was actually before K&B existed.
Right,
but
right.
This was
basically
sort of
right after this picture, you guys formed K&B, pretty much, right?
Yeah. Dave Kinlan. That's right. Larry O'Dean. The gang. Oh, yeah. See, Tree Branch Front now from Doug Beswick.
Actually quite a bit of effects in this picture for what you could consider a low-budget movie.
Yeah,
it's
we
pretty
were
chock full of it.
And it was one of those things where we were there every day. Brian Ray now works at K&B. He's been with us for about 5 years. Yeah, see, there's the Rick Catazone, who's from Pittsburgh. I actually knew Rick through Tom Savini before I actually even moved out to L.A.
Right.
Mike Janescu.
Michael Jane Nescu.
Mike Ditz, our old friend from our Super 8 days. It was a still photographer.
The winner and still photographer. Scary music. Special thanks to everybody.
Betty and Harry Huntley, they were the owners of the property where the cabin is, so don't try and look them up. You can't get on.
Scott Spiegel, fake shimp.
The fake shimp category appears once again.
The amazing voice of William Preston Robertson. He's a great actor, that William Preston.
Yeah, fully.
He's appeared in some of the Coen Brothers pictures.
I love it. The sequel to The Ultimate Experience in Grueling Terror.